And also, I'm beginning to think that this might just be a chaos Tuesday and we're swapping our days because we are going on.
Welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love the procrastinators special.
Ooh, we do. Yes, we do. Big up, coffee.
I am Michael Ann. And with me, as always, is Bethany. Bethany, how are you doing?
Hi, everyone. I was just telling Michael Ann before I started recording, it might be me who's doing the constant yawning this episode because I am so tired. I'm very excited to discuss chapter 10. Do not get me wrong. Michael Ann also promised me a rant. I'm very excited to hear that. But Spring Forward done messed with me apparently last night and I could not fall asleep. And when my alarm went off this morning, I was like, oh, hell's to the naw. So I'm a little sleepy, but other than that, you know, living the dream. Got some positive feedback on our last episode from my coworker, so that's always nice. She was like, I liked that, the bracket, very interactive, very fun. And I was like, glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I love the compliments. Please keep them coming. On the airy day. Other bracelets for sale. If y'all haven't seen our bracelets are for sale, please go check them out. I personally think Bike Area, I might just have to buy myself because I love it so much. I was like, this one is for me. This one is literally made for me. It is fantastic. So if you want to go check out the Bike Area or any other braceletes, I think that's how you say it in Spanish. Don't quote me on that though. Do that. They're available for a limited time.
Yes, link in our bio on Instagram. So I'll put it here too in the show notes. Yeah, we got bracelets for sale. We got stickers. I put 5 custom requests on there so you can request a bracelet we don't have. Somebody has already bought one, so there's 4 left. So if you don't see a bracelet that has the saying you want, get a custom.
We got you.
We do. But be patient with shipping because if you don't order by Wednesday, you're not going to get it until 2 weeks because I got to go to Boston next week. Which means no episodes next week.
Yes. Also, for everyone, a little scheduling update. Obviously, this will always be posted on the gram. But next week we are off. Like we said, please be patient with us this spring. Looks like we should be good to go for most of April, everyone, though, so be excited. Mm-hmm. But we're taking a little weeksies off because my thing is going to Boston. And we might be missing one chaos at the beginning of April because I am going to DC for a wedding. And I am, in fact, very bitter that I've always wanted to see the cherry blossoms bloom. And usually they bloom around the first week of April. And I was like, oh, this could be my time. No, they're going to bloom in late March this year. So,
oh my God. There are cherry blossoms in Sweden. And I was like, holy shit.
Will they be in bloom when we are there?
No,
sad. That would have been cool to see.
It's only like a couple weeks before, though. So I was like, oh my God, a freaking course.
We're so close, but so far away. Also, y'all, I am still absolutely mesmerized by how late it stays light, I guess. Is that the way to word it? In the old Scandinavia. Also in the UK. Anywhere that's like in the northern bit of Europe, I feel like stays light late. And we're going in May when it actually isn't like that late. Like come June, July, it stays light until like 10:30 at night. But when we go, it's still going to be like the sun is setting at 9:30. And that is absolutely wild to me. Like I calculated it and I don't think the sun is going to set until like the folklore portion of the show. And that is so weird to me that the concert will be like mostly in the day. It's in a dome. So like it won't be like super, super bright as if you were like outside.
But still, it'll technically be like daylight for most of the show. And that is
that's crazy.
So bizarre to me.
That's crazy.
That's a very bizarre concept. Also, I don't know. Everyone place your bets. I know this is not chaos, but we're just going to quickly talk about Taylor Swift. Everyone place your bets. Do we think she is adding tortured poets department to the set list? I am so hoping, but I'm not like holding my breath for it. But like maybe she's got 2 months. Like she wrote a whole goddamn album while she was touring the world. You're telling me she hasn't had time to like rehearse a few numbers? I'm just saying. We don't need it to be like a full set. Give me like a Speak Now set if you want, where you just like do 2 songs. That's fine. I'm fine with that. I'm not greedy.
Yeah. I wonder if any changes are going to come after the – oh, my God. I'm also so tired. This has really – last night I could not sleep, could not sleep. And then I woke up like 400 times while I was sleeping. And and then I was a little manic today, and I'm coming down now, so I'm like,
and now it's just, yeah, it's time to like, yeah, crash.
I feel that.
But yeah, what will she do?
What will she do?
And it gets me excited, but it's also like, oh my God, like May 9th is when she comes back, and that's only 10 days before our show. So like, barely have time to know.
I'm so excited. That is going to be great. I also told myself I wasn't going to do this, but I am back in the Rep TV conspiracy theories.
Oh, she's falling down the rabbit hole.
I'm back. I'm not going to say I think anything for sure, because that's that's wrong. But I've seen a lot of theories on the internet that something is coming March 15th. And some people are speculating that we are once again clowning and speculating for a double drop with the Tortured Poets Department.
Oh, could be. One of these ding ding times, y'all, we'll be right about a double album drop. I can't tell you when, but one of these times.
One of these days. So,
and a girl can dream.
I think it's time. Okay.
Is it rant time? Oh my God, I've been very excited about this. Rant time.
I watched and I'm actually really interested to talk to you about this because you have probably actually seen this movie and I have not actually seen it.
Oh, okay. Excited. Yes.
So, Poor Things won a shitload of Oscars last night. So I was like, oh man, I gotta watch this movie. And my friend was like, same. So my friend watched it today and she was giving me live reactions. And I didn't know anything about Poor Things, at all. But today I found out so many things that I hate.
Oh, so many things.
Oh my fucking God. First of all, where do I even begin? First of all, so a woman commits suicide with her baby in her body, which that's not a thing women do casually. So obviously there was something going on, and that we will circle back to. but that's like so traumatizing for women in general. Like that is like shouldn't be handled lightly, but it is kind of handled lightly because then he takes the baby's brain and puts it in mom's body. Which, why did he do that? Just like, was the baby's body okay?
Yeah, that's a great question, honestly. Okay, so here's my Poor Things thing, which feel free to spoil. I've still not actually watched it myself.
Oh, okay.
It was one of those things when I saw the trailers. So there was actually this like special early screening. AMC does this thing occasionally where they like give you a blind screening. And one of the things people on film Twitter were theorizing about was that it was going to be Poor Things. And so I watched the trailer and I was like, oh my God, I love Emma Stone. Like this looks weird, but like the cast was really good. Like I'm sure I'll like it. It looked very like artsy, you know? And the trailer made me laugh. I was like, you know what? Like it's probably going to be a little bizarre, but like it looks funny. So I was down for it. That is not the movie that we got though. And my husband was kind of like, I don't know if that's like my top choice to see, to be honest, like when it does come out. We ended up getting to see American Fiction, which talked about in our 2023 wrap up. Can't recommend that movie enough. That was fantastic. Everyone go watch it if you have not seen it. But and also the it won for screenplay and best adapted screenplay, I believe. And the writer, which also directed the film, came up and gave an absolutely phenomenal acceptance speech last night at the Oscars. Anywho, I digress. So I was like, yeah, I want to see this movie. I want to see this movie. I like a Miss Joan. It looks kind of weird, but it looks kind of good. Whatever. Then neighbors of ours saw it around Christmas time and they basically walked out of it and said it was not good. And I was like, and they said it was very like not safe for work, very like kind of just like disturbing. And I was like, oh, like I still want to see it. But like there are certain movies that you can watch and like you don't have to think about, you know what I mean? And then there are other movies you have to turn your brain on. And in the last few months, I've just been leaning more toward like movies that are very like fluffy and fun and I don't have to think about. Well, now it's on Hulu. And I was like, okay, because then, you know, it left theaters because it wasn't in theaters for very long. Because again, like art house films, like usually don't have a long, you know, long legs. Unless, of course, they get awards, then people tend to get interested. Which is why award shows like this are great. You know, they get eyes on movies that maybe some people wouldn't usually see. So anywho, it's now on Hulu. And I was like, oh, like I wanted to watch it. And like now, like I have no excuse. Like it's on a streaming service. And I just like still haven't watched it because I don't know. Like everything I've heard about it so far, I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like, and again, like no shade to anyone out there who like, if it is your cup of tea, again, neither of us have seen it. So maybe like we're missing some things. But it just seems very bizarre. And also, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit bitter that it won Best Production Design when fucking yes. Barbie had the greatest production design of like the last decade, in my humble opinion. And the one award I did think, again, I have not seen Poor Things yet, but the one award I do think it should have been given was cinematography, because like watch the trailer, it's beautiful. Like the way it's shot is absolutely beautiful, and they do some really weird quirky things, fisheye lenses and you know, different things like that. But it just looks like a painting, like brought to life is what this movie looks like. And I was like, listen, I haven't seen this movie, but if I think it deserves anything, it's cinematography. And that's the one effing award it didn't win. And I was like, I clearly know nothing. I know nothing.
Well, spoilers for Poor Things coming up, because I did not watch it, but I did read. I went on a 3-hour like deep dive. So this woman commits suicide. Baby, they put the baby's brain in the woman's body for some reason. And so this is now a baby inside of a woman's body.
Yeah.
Right off the jump, they start sexualizing her.
Oh, of course.
Which my thing with that is like, okay, yeah, she's in a woman's body. And, you know, people defend it by saying like, no shade to the person who literally just said this to me. Sorry. But like, people are like, well, her brain, like, you know, by the end of the movie, she's like far more developed. Like her brain, you know, develops faster because this is a stupid sci-fi movie and laws don't exist. So anyway, so they immediately start sexualizing her. Now, the guy who brings her back to life is a man, obviously. You just said that. She calls him God, which already I was like, this is fucking stupid. Yeah, so then this whole movie is about like her like reclaiming her bodily autonomy, her like, you know, it's supposed to be like a somewhat of like a feminist voice of like,
yeah,
you know, women like sex and their like sexual desires are like blah, 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 blah. But that's not really, in my opinion, and I didn't watch it again, but in my opinion, that's not what this movie was. Like, so when she's still a baby brain, which arguably you can say she's a child, she
just saying
masturbates with fruits and vegetables. And I guess the sex scenes, I guess one of the things, like a lot of critiques that are coming through are just like the sex scenes are really gratuitous and really explicit.
Yeah.
Which was like, you know, which I guess was supposed to be part of the like sexual liberation of women thing. So anyway, she starts masturbating, then she becomes obsessed with sex, and then she's having sex with a bunch of characters, and then she becomes a sex worker, and there's all these crazy sex worker scenes. And so ultimately, what this movie is, in my opinion, is a bunch of dudes got together and they were like, let's write a movie about the woman's a woman's sexual awakening.
Right.
But men can't write something like that. And it's like, if you look beyond the Emma Stone and the set design and the costuming of it, like, pretend Emma Stone is Amy Schumer. And, like, because we all hate Amy Schumer, let's be fucking honest.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
but, yeah, take all of that away and then really look at this story. I have some questions, like, at what point do we consider Emma Stone's character, Bella, no longer a child? Like, at what point do you decide, okay, her brain's developed enough that she is a consenting adult? First and foremost. So we're already teetering on this weird line of, like, sexualizing kids, which, not to sound like a fucking Republican, but that is kind of, like, a common theme throughout media. I mean, that is true. Right. So, oh my God, where was I? Oh, so there's all this, like, really gratuitous sex, and most of the cast is men. And so, in my opinion, like, one of the scenes is her strapped upside down, fully naked. You see whole, full naked. You see boobs, you see puss. And she has a ball gag in, and one of her client is just, like, humping her or something. And then later on, she has sex with a woman. So, point being here that this movie is just another male fantasy disguised as something smarter than it is, in my opinion.
Disguised as art. Yeah, yes. I just thought, it's funny because, like, remember a few years back when everyone kind of had, like, this reckoning with movies like Splash and Big, where everyone, like, really kind of thought about it, like, boiled down again, these movies are made in, like, the 80s, where it's like, these people are childlike. Yes, I understand they are in adult bodies. Like, Tom Hanks is playing the adult big kid or whatever. Tom Hanks weirdly is in both. And, you know, the mermaid is derelict. Like, she is an adult human person. But the point is, like their brain, like, mentally, they are much younger than, you know, again, like, and again, in Big, he literally is a 13-year-old who wishes to be Big. So literally he's a 13-year-old. He just happens to look like, you know, a 30-something Tom Hanks. And a lot of people were like, wow, like, you know, these are movies I grew up on, they were part of my childhood, but, like, now that I really think about it, like, that's kind of weird. And we're all kind of like, well, again, it's this 80s, you know, what, like, but we're not gonna, like, we wouldn't make that now. We wouldn't make Splash now. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't work. And then I feel like they kind of did that with this movie, and it, like, won a bunch of awards. And it's sort of weird because I was like, I feel like just a few years ago, we all had this reckoning about how, like, that's kind of weird. Like, that's a weird thing that we did, you know, back in the 80s or whatever. And now, like, it's kind of happening again. And everyone's just like, but she was so good in it, and she had a great voice. And again, like, I don't know. Neither of us have seen it. Maybe if you watch it, it's not. It was just, like, everything I've heard about it kind of turned me off. And I was like, I don't know. It's on Hulu. I guess I can give it a chance. Again, I do like the cast a lot. But, yeah, I don't know. It was filmed. It was written by a man, directed by a man, edited by a man. And
based on a book written by a man.
Yeah. So it's just a little like, I don't know. It gives me the skeevies a little bit personally.
I know this isn't chaos. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. This has been my whole day. And you know what? Fast forward.
We have to go down the rabbit hole, okay? The Oscars for yesterday. And I have some thoughts and feelings. And apparently Michael Ian really has some thoughts and feelings.
Yes.
Down a whole rabbit hole.
So my friend explained this to me. And I thought to myself, like, she was giving me, you know, live updates of what was happening, what she was thinking. Like, and by the way, she thought this movie was fucked up too. But I think I found it a little more fucked up. I think she probably eventually stopped watching my Snapchats because I went on a fucking rant. I was like, really? And if we bring this back to media in general, in America's current situation, we have Euphoria, which I will never stop talking about Euphoria. I don't fucking care how good it is. I don't care how much you guys like it.
I don't care.
Those are supposed to be children. I know Sydney Sweeney is like 24, but this is a show about where do we draw the line? Anyway, so again, that's another male fantasy just and being looked out.
It's a whole another conversation, which again is a conversation we've been having for years. I understand why you have 20-something-year-olds playing teenagers because labor laws, because you can get more hours of them working. And again, you can do things with them, like put them in gratuitous sex scenes that you can't do with a child. There are,
which,
you know, some
think about that.
Yeah, think which is that. Like messed up. But or at least, well, I guess technically in a sense you can. I mean, you can't do, like, anything too gratuitous to the child, thank God. But certain things, like certain nudity, you can't. You have to get their parents' permission, which is also a wild concept to me that that's something that, like, we do to minors in film. Anywho, besides the point, I digress. But the point being, again, it's a conversation people have been having for years since, you know, the WB really took off and, you know, whatever. And it's, like, it's the expectations then that it has on teenagers to look a certain way or be a certain way. Because, again, what's portraying as teenager is actually a 24-year-old woman. And when you were 16 and when you were 24, you just don't look the same. You just don't. Yeah. And that leads to a whole thing and leads to, you know, these girls trying to do things to their bodies, you know. Again, sometimes it's lip kits, but before you know it, it's people thinking they need a boob job because, well, this teenage girl in Euphoria has, you know, big tits. And it's like, because she's 24 and you're 16.
Like, yeah. And just like genetically, that's what happened with her. Genetically, she just got big boobs.
Genetically,
and
she just was that person who lucked out.
And like, I have no problem. Like, if you want to get plastic surgery, like, get, oh shit, live it up. But it's like, it does, like, shows like Euphoria, my, and unfortunately, I hate to say this, Skins, really, like, portray kind of, like, we're telling teenage girls, you are an object for men to use for sex, and I feel like Poor Things is saying the same thing. Now, everyone's like, oh, well, it was liberating, like, she took control of her autonomy and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I think that's just like, I don't think there's enough of that for to excuse everything else in the movie.
Right. And it's also it's like, so what, like her character grow through the movie as she liberates herself. So that means that we have to watch her suffer probably for the first 45 minutes. Right. Like, it just ain't worth it for me, man. Like, I don't want to do that.
Part of my rant did bring me back to that I was saying on Snapchat to my friend who was definitely like, okay, this all, you know, can circle back to the fact that we had a president in the Family First Party who not only has been found guilty for raping a 13-year-old, but he was on Jeffrey Epstein's island and he said with his own mouth, his own words said that he goes into U.S., the Teen USA dressing rooms to see the girls changing.
Yep.
And we are saying like, okay, that's fine. Cause like it's a man and it's heterosexual, but trans people are grooming you. If your teacher's gay, they want you to be gay too, you know? And it's just like, that's just not what's happening here. But also at the end of Poor Things. So remember, she fucking killed herself while she was pregnant. At the end of Poor Things, one of the characters, I don't know who, finds her husband. Do you think a woman who killed herself while she was pregnant wants to see her husband again? So he ends up being super abusive and he like threatens to, and this was so unnecessary, which is another, like, it's just tacking on the things of this movie. He was taking her to the hospital to get her clit removed.
What in the what? This movie is warped, y'all.
Specifically her clit, okay? And I was reading a review by a man.
by a man.
And
to be clear.
And it says, then she grapples with him physically, wrestling away the gun to retain the freedoms she's fought so hard to succeed. And, crucially, her clitoris. No! It's not, and crucially, her clitoris.
Right.
He was going to shoot her. He's going to mutate her fucking body. You can't be like, oh, she's fought so hard to get these freedoms, and now she's got to save her clitoris. Get your head out of your fucking ass. And then... No, I think that was it. No, oh, let me read some of the good things. Good things I read.
Good things. I love this rabbit hole you went down, by the way. You came for fish. She came with receipts, y'all. She's like, let me pull up this review I read.
I literally screamed when, in parentheses, it was like, and crucially, her clitoris. I'm like, oh my fucking God. So, because again, people are seeing this movie as like sexual liberation, which like, okay, maybe surface level, but really think about it a little bit deeper and you'll see that like, no. So... Also, okay, so let me just read this whole paragraph from this Vulture article that I read. Poor Things, with its nearly 2.5 hour runtime, sags towards the end and could usefully shave at least 20 minutes, like all fucking movies nowadays, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yet the film never outright feels sluggish and is poised to punch and bruise rather than allure. But there is a carotid spirit to the story, like it's intermittently possessed by an edgelord who's unaware most women menstruate and an early wave white feminist who believes having sex is the most empowering thing a woman can do. In many ways, the film demonstrates the limit of the modern cis male auteur's vision for and about women, particularly their sexual selves. Watching it for any sort of feminist revelation is akin to craving the salty chill of the ocean and the spray of a wave upon your face and having to settle for resting your ear against a curling seashell, listening to only the echo of what you truly desire.
Bam. Yeah. Man, the Vulture had it. They came prepared.
Oh, Vultures?
That was good.
I was like, wait, because this movie has won so many awards. Like, people like it. Like, I haven't heard anything negative about it. And so when my friend was telling me about it, and I was like, this is not okay. Like, this is a not okay concept. And I'm like, and so I Googled it. I'm like, sexualization and poor things or whatever. And that's the first article that came up. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. I'm so glad I'm not like overreacting here. Like, this is actually gross. And like, Emma Stone is lovely. I love Emma Stone. Right. She is a queen. This has nothing to do with Emma Stone. This has everything to do with the writers, the directors, and the author of the book, and whoever gave them like a million awards and treated it like it's some sort of revolutionary piece of art when really it's just another movie by a man with a good set design, costuming. It's like Tim Burton.
It's just it's a very weird, I don't know. If we're looking for a good, like, women's liberation, sexual liberation movie, I don't know if I'd be like, you know what, all these men are going to be the ones to tell me how we're sexually liberated. I don't know. It's just weird. I'm not saying that, like, you know, as a female, write interesting male characters. As a male, write interesting, you know, female characters. Like, obviously, we're all capable of writing things, but it's just, like, it's not... And again, it just annoys me that films like this get heralded as, you know, these wonderful works of art and so creative, and these, you know, these men get heralded with all these praises when, like, there were some really interesting movies made by women this year and they didn't get that. And, like, they probably actually would know about a woman's sexual liberation or just women's liberation in general because they are... women.
and yeah, exactly.
I understand.
like as she said, like, sexual liberation is not like the end all be all of women's liberation, and right. That's ridiculous to even say or even like try to. But and we had a movie actually written and directed by a woman about the female experience with all age groups in it.
Right.
It was beautiful. It won one Oscar for best song. And it gets, like, shit on. And it's like, This is an actual movie about a woman's experience. This is actually something that's powerful. It's not just a woman fucking riding a guy for 2.5 hours. Like,
right.
Put some sustenance in your work. Like, whatever, have as many sex scenes as you want. Like, I think they're a little gratuitous and I think maybe it's a little much, but do whatever, but like at least have a good story to back it up. Like,
right.
And I also want to mention shows about teenagers from when we were younger and like when like our siblings were younger, like Boy Meets World, One Tree Hill, Gilmore Girls, like these shows talked about sex and there was an implication that the characters right. had sex, but they did not show it. And right. I feel like, first of all, that's just better TV. No, I mean, somebody's going to be like, you're such a prude. Whatever.
you're like, come at me, bro. But again, if we are saying that these are teenagers, and I understand yes. that, like, I watch these shows as teenagers, you're like, oh, it's my peers. But, like, that's still, that's not the point. Like, that's even when they're your peers. And again, like, those are my comfort shows. I watch them now as a grown adult woman. You want to know what I don't want to do is watch teens bang each other. Like, that's just right. not my cup of tea, because that would be gross if it was. Because again, I would literally be like a pedophile, and I really pride myself on not being one personally. But and again, I yeah. know it's like, well, they're actually in their 20s filming it, but like,
no,
still, but the point is, the implication is they are teenagers in this show, in this story, they are a teenager, and I just like don't, again, we all know they're doing it, but like, I don't need to be seeing it.
And like, it's not like we're saying this, saying like, oh, we're over-sexualizing teenagers, like this needs to stop, and people can be like, no, we're not. There's no evidence of that. There is so much evidence of young women being manipulated into sexual relationships with older men. How many right. celebrities, 17 years old, had like a 29-year-old boyfriend? And we were all just right. like, totally normal. So it's like, no, this kind of thing actually does affect society and women's safety, girls' safety. Like, I just feel like the message you were trying to send with Poor Things missed, and we should really be like maybe giving money. Like, was it the American Fiction guy who was like, we should be, instead of making one $200 million movie, we make like five,
right?
Like that, yes, that's, we're...
Like, take a chance and, yeah.
Yes.
And again, take a chance on, this is clearly a story, you know, he grew up as African-American guy, and this was a story that he really related to. Like, and again, I'm, like I said, I'm not saying that you can't write about blah, 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 like, people who you are not. And again, people write science fiction and fantasy and whatever, or, oh, you're not a dwarf, so you can't write about dwarves, or, you know, whatever, you're not a right, dragon, right. so you can't write about dragons. And it's like, yeah, you fucking can, okay, because they're fictional, like, they're fantasy things. But this is clearly something that meant a lot to him. It's an experience that he really had, and it just, like, it just hits different, you know what I mean? Like, when I watched American Fiction, you could tell that this was someone who had lived this experience, the way that it came off on screen. And again, I haven't seen Poor Things, but I would imagine that some of it probably just, it doesn't feel that way, you know what I mean? Like, there's just this, like, not, there's not a level of authenticity to it, because it's just not a lived yeah. experience that these men have had. And exactly. yeah, just, yeah. And also... I'm beginning to think that this might just be a Chaos Tuesday and we're swapping our days because we are going on.
I know, we're going on. I was
like,
should
this just be chaos? Because we're like 30 minutes into recording. Are we switching our schedule this week? I don't know, y'all. Cause also, I was like, I have some other Oscar hot takes, and I was like, should this just be Oscars episode? I don't know.
I guess this is just going to be an Oscars episode.
Yeah, because I was like, I don't, at this rate, even if we chat for another 10 minutes, it's 40 minutes. Like, that's an, it's an episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shoot, we really? I was like, yeah, whatever. We'll have a little rant. They'll fast forward through it. It's fine.
Sorry, y'all. Surprise.
Surprise. You're getting chaos early this week. We're going to do a bracket, I think. We'll do a bracket at some point, Elsa and Marsh, I swear. They were fun. It was fun, and we wanted another. Anywho,
oh, yeah, I did want to do a bracket.
Carrying on with apparently Oscars chaos. Yes, about why this matters. And yes, I understand that people... Okay, I'm going to use myself as an example. I, as a teenage girl, love Twilight. I still have, like, a weird... It's a love-hate relationship with Twilight, but it's, like, still this weird comforting thing to me. Like, I'm never going to reread the books again because, honestly, yeah. it's just too time-consuming. But, like, I'm going to watch the movies. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, if it's on TV or whatever, not, like, anyone really has TV anymore, but, like, if I'm, like, home by myself and my husband's not home and it's, like, a rainy day, I'm not even putting on Twilight. Come at me. And they used to always like really infuriate me when people are like, this is such a bad example for women. And I was like, do you think I'm that dumb that this book, like this fictional book, like, no, I don't want an Edward in real life. I just think it's like cool in this story. Like, I'm not trying to effing date a vampire either. You know what I mean? And it used to like drive me crazy when people would use that argument. Then I kind of grew up and I realized that, yes, I think obviously people can understand the difference between fiction and reality. And I do think a lot of people are very intelligent, especially teenage girls. Never doubt their intelligence. They're awesome. They're the reason we have so many great things in life. As someone who once was a teenage girl, not to my own horn, but we're freaking great. We're pretty great. And again, most people can read things and understand things. But like, just imagine if that's all you, again, like Twilight was one thing I read. I was an avid reader growing up. I was reading, obviously lots of Sarah Dessen, which she was setting such a great example. I had my actual parents as a great example of a real life great love story. I had my sisters, my older sisters, who had some terrible breakups and some whatever. And I was like, well, I don't want to go through that. And then again, still ended up in an emotionally abusive relationship. But whatever.
As we all do.
But again, I had lots of great examples for me. But imagine if the only example that was ever set for me was the Twilights, was relationships like that. If you're consuming nothing but that, inevitably you are beginning to think that that is what love should be and that's what relationships should be. Again, I was able to separate the fiction from reality. Also, I think a lot of the things that Stephanie Meyer did to Native Americans' representation in those novels are really bothersome. Again, very happy that lots of, Indigenous people were able to get acting roles out of these movies. I guess that people got paid, and that I'm happy for them. That was an opportunity they may have not gotten. But again, overall, what she did to the Quileute tribe, real problematic. Okay. Mm-hmm. But we're going to gloss past that just for a moment. But just so we all are clear, not cool. But I do think, but I am just a strong believer. And again, you should have a healthy dose of what you consume in media. You're not to say that you can't watch something about an abusive relationship and not suddenly think that you need to enter an abusive relationship, you know, but you need to have a healthy mix. And if that was the only thing you were given. So the issue is just kind of like, I don't know. I just feel like growing up, it's books we had to read. It's like the only things we're given with these men's stories. And now, like the only time we get to hear about, you know, our womanhood or our, like, you know, liberation or whatever, the only thing that gets praised is when it's by a man. Again, like you said, there was literally a movie this year that came out about women, written by a woman, directed by a woman, starring a whole beautiful cast of diverse women, and also some really great men. And like, that's not what gets the praise. And it's just like, it's frustrating. Yeah. When you're just like, media representation does matter. What people watch does matter. I actually read this thing the other day. And again, there's not any way to prove this, but they, for the first time in a long time, we're now at the point where like attorneys, there are more like female lawyers and attorneys than there are men. And someone was saying, isn't it kind of interesting that this generation probably grew up with Legally Blonde? So how many little girls watch Legally Blonde and then was like, well, if Elle Woods can do it, I want to go to law school. Again, I'm not saying that the reason there are more female lawyers in America right now is, but again, if you don't have I have heard so many stories of people being like, I love that movie growing up. I didn't even know law school was an option. I didn't know what a lawyer was, whatever. I've heard so many women a little bit older than us, Ally McBeal being such a thing.
Yes.
But isn't it so interesting that a few years ago, you know, 20 years ago, and Ally McBeal, you have Legally Blonde, and suddenly there's a lot of female lawyers. It matters. And again, literally in this Oscars, Godzilla Minus One won for Best Visual Effects, which again is just an absolute beautiful, beautiful movie, but also just like a beautiful story. The fact that, again, talking about making a movie on a lower budget, this movie won Best Visual Effects and it beat out movies that had, like, the way my husband worded it last night is, like, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was up. Their visual effects budget alone was more than the entirety of Godzilla Minus One's entire budget for this entire film. So it is amazing that they were able to win best, you know, visual effects against some of these heavy hitters, you know, these big Marvel movies with all this. Is that Willow?
Willow is not here. It's one of my neighbors has like a motorcycle or something, and he just pulls it into the parking lot and then just like revs it.
It's obnoxious.
Like, yeah, that's over stupid. And over again. Every single day he does this. And it's like, we get it, dude. We can hear your motorcycle. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Get fucked.
Get fucked, dude. But these lovely people, they came up and in like their broken English, because obviously they are Japanese and you know, English is not their first language. But again, films are so universal that they went up and they were like, we grew up watching Close Encounters of the Third Kind and Star Wars, and I knew that this is what I wanted to do. And it's like, yeah, like, aww, it matters. What you see matters. It was honestly a very beautiful speech and it got me a little emotional. I was very proud of them. They all came up with little Godzilla, yes, like, figurines, and it was, yes, the most precious thing. And I was like, you go, Godzilla minus one, be in the big, you know, it was like a real David versus Goliath thing. But yeah, like that, I don't know. I just think the media you consume and the things we put out there matters. And I just think it does kind of, and again, this, like I said, whatever. If you like Poor Things, that's great. And you're probably like, neither of you have even watched it. Why are you like yammering on about this for 40 minutes? But we just have a lot of those feelings. But it's, and again, I'm not saying like, people come at me and be like, you're just mad that Barbie lost. No, I'm just like annoyed that like men keep getting praised for like
nothing.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically. Freaking Oppenheimer. So goddamn cold. I don't, what is even, I'm not even saying Oppenheimer was a bad film. I saw it. I will never watch it again. Like, it's just too,
it sounds long, to be honest. So boring.
But it's like, I literally watched it and I was like, what was the point? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just, yes, like, obviously every movie has like a theme and like a meaning. And I literally watched it and I was like, I learned some things. Don't get me wrong. Like, historically, it was a very historically accurate biopic and I learned a lot of things. But what was the fucking point of it? Like, and that's how, right, I feel about all Christopher Nolan films. I'm always like, I see what you did. You made a really pretty movie. He always makes really pretty movies and they're just edited to a T, which is because he was a female editor. And it's just the structure is great and, you know, whatever. But like, there's never any heart to it. Like, there's just, mm-hmm, never, you always walk out and you're like, what the fuck? Like, when I walked out of Dunkirk, like, I remember watching Dunkirk and like enjoying it because you're on the edge of the seat. The score is perfect and it's an interesting movie, but you walk out of it and you're like, the fuck was the point? Like, what are they trying to tell, right, us? Like, when you walk out of Schindler's List, you know what the effing point was. You know what they, yes, were trying to tell you. You know what I mean? Like, yes. So I just don't understand. And I was so mad. Like, this is so dumb, y'all. But like, Steven Spielberg is like my all time favorite director. Like, many people, that's like not like, oh my God, what a weird take, you know, what an uncommon pick. He's popular for a goddamn reason because he's an absolute masterclass on how to make movies. But anywho, they had that man who's literally his whole, his movies, you know, my friend last night put it really, you know, beautifully. We're talking about how Nolan's films are cold and he's like, you know, basically Spielberg is the antithesis of Nolan. His movies are warm. Like, there's always this wonder to it. Like, you watch Jurassic Park, you watch E.T., there's wonder. Again, even when he's covering heavier subject material, there's just like warmth to it. There's character motivation. You understand what he's trying to tell you. And that's, ask me to name, besides Oppenheimer, because that is literally the name of the movie. Ask me to name a single, like, and Batman, because again, it's in the name of the movie and it's Batman. We all know Batman. Ask me to name a single character in any Nolan film. I fucking can't. I don't remember any of their names because, like, they're just, if you're not there for the characters, you're there to, like, look at the pretty pictures, you know? And that's just, like, not my version. That's just not the storytelling. I'm more of a character-driven kind of gal. But anywho, it ticked me off so much because when they announced that Spielberg was announcing Best Director and I knew this year Nolan was going to win it, and I was like, they keep trying to crown Nolan as a new Spielberg, and I'm sorry, just fucking not, and you never will be, because like the two of you just don't make the same kind of films. I don't care if your films are great and whatever and people love them. You're not the next Spielberg. I don't know who the next Spielberg is going to be, but it ain't you. And I was like, they're really going to make this man go, Greta, it's you. They're really going to make this man go up there and give this to, like, I'm handing the crown. And I was pissed, y'all. I was livid last night over this. And it's so, like, none of these things matter in the grand scheme of things at silly award shows. But to me, it mattered. And I was like, I cannot believe they're going to trot out my boy, Steven Spielberg, and make him give it to absolute emotionalist, I kill off all women in every one of my fucking movies. Yes, Oppenheimer is included. Spoilers for history, I guess.
Yeah, didn't Oppenheimer's wife, like, kill herself?
So his lover did. Wife.
Okay.
Yeah, he cheated on his wife. So basically in this movie, and which again, really just weird, gratuitous sex scenes in this movie for no fucking reason. Like, I was like, I don't understand the point of this sex scene, to be honest. Like, he's like in a boardroom and he like is thinking about the time that he's like having sex with his lover, and there's like poor Florence Pugh just like naked in a room full of men because this male director told her to be, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. He's like thinking about, like, because he's feeling so vulnerable that he's like naked, I guess, in front of this boardroom. And so it literally like transforms, like, he is still sitting in the boardroom, but she's like on top of him, butt ass naked, riding him, and they're like in this big boardroom conference room with a bunch of men just staring at her. And I was like, oh. I mean, earn that paycheck, girl. But yeah. And then she kills herself. So basically she's there to have sex with him, for him to like say some smart book quotes, for us to be like, he's so smart. And then for her to kill herself. And mind you, he was cheating on his wife. And Emily Blunt, like, really doesn't have much – that's who plays his wife is Emily Blunt. She doesn't really have much to do until the end. She just has, like, this really, really good scene at the end where you're like, okay, girl, go off. But the rest of it, she's just there. She's, like, looking forlornly while she's, like, putting stuff off the clothesline and shit. So I'm like, well, here we go again. Another woman. And again, it's like, I don't know, this woman dies and it, like, makes him grow as a person. Did he, though? I don't know, because then he, like, created the atomic bomb. But anyhow.
I am so – over women being a fucking plot point and that's it, like, yeah. Oh, your lover died, so therefore it propelled you into this amazing no.
Yeah, I'm just not for it.
I'm not for it.
On the other hand, wait, this is just full on spoilers, whatever. I'm saying, I don't even know what this is. Y'all, we came here to talk about chapter 10.
You're gonna hear that. It's a good chapter, too.
And it's a good chapter. I had some thoughts and feelings.
Same.
And then this happened. And I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I don't know. Have you watched One Day on Netflix by chance?
Yes.
And I've read the book. I've watched the movie back when the movie came out.
Yes.
And it like made it worse watching the show, because you like know shit's gonna happen, you know? And also I just think like the show was like so much better because you had time to like really digest. Like, I no shade to the movie. I really liked the movie when it came out, and I still do. But you just have so much time to like digest things. And I was just saying, again, I think this is like the antithesis, and where like how it can be done well, I think. Like, yes, technically, again, spoilers for One Day. This book is pretty old at this point, and the movie is pretty old. But I understand that the Netflix show might be the first time you're hearing of it, and that has come out kind of recently. So if you haven't, tune out right now. I'm about to spoil One Day. Okay, so anyways, I just think that this shows – and again, this actually was written by a man, the book, yes, at least, originally. Mm-hmm. But I think, again, it's that's not the point. Like, Dexter doesn't grow out of his grief. He isn't suddenly a changed man because she died. Like, he's a changed man when she is alive and, like, puts him in her place. And, you know, he grows up. You know, that's the whole thing. We grew up together, right? And he grows or whatever. And the whole point of her dying isn't to, like, make him a better person or to care to, like, that's not the point of it, like, at all. Like, it's a point about grieving and, you know, again, obviously there's so many double meanings or whatever, like triple meaning in the title. One Day, of course, is like one day they meet. That same day she happens to be the day that she dies. And also it's one day a year you meet up with them. But the whole point, of course, the kind of speech that she has at the end about time, like one day, time doesn't heal everything, but like the wounds of grief won't feel as hard for you. So it's just, again, it's one of those things where it's like, point proven, you can be a guy, you can kill off a woman, and you can do it well. Like, we're just tired of you fridging women to, like,
objects.
Men's got something to fight for. Like, again, Emma is a full flesh character with thoughts and desires and flaws and whatever. And so, like, you grieve for her as much as Dexter does. It isn't just like, oh, I feel bad for him because his wife died and he has to go like become a better person or get vengeance or whatever. Like, that's not the point, you know? And yeah, anyways, be more like One Day, everyone, and less like Christopher Nolan. That's my advice just in life, really.
I will say one thing about One Day. I did see the movie years and years and years ago, wiped from my brain. I turned on One Day thinking it was a rom-com. And then I got to the episode.
You were in for a rude awakening.
Yes. I got to the last episode when she dies. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then I Googled it. And I'm like, oh, my God, this movie. Like,
that's right.
I knew about this. And then I was like, I wish I didn't watch this. But it was really good. One Day was really, really good.
Also, that last episode, like, as horroring as it is and as upsetting, I was, like, up late the other night. Watching it and just like crying to myself in my living room at like midnight or whatever. But that episode was so good, and I just thought so beautifully done. And also that, like, I'm really sorry that I don't know this actor's name off the top of my head, but like acted his ass off.
Yes.
Like, that was impeccable. And again, also just like toxic masculinity, like him and it, like, so British, his dad being like, do you want to have a heart to heart about this? And they're like, nope.
Yes.
But, like, his dad also is, like, really sweet and is there for him, but, like, they just can't do the, like, you know what I mean? It's just like, well, I suggest that you keep carrying on, son. And he's like, yeah, thanks for the advice.
That show was really, really good. Like, seeing his whole, like he was obviously struggling with addiction. Mm-hmm. But they didn't write it, or he didn't act it in a way that made him seem like a dirtbag. Like, you actually were like, okay, well, this is why this is the case. Like, yeah. You know, poor little rich boy, but also, like, right? You but know.
Also, poor little rich boy.
I mean, everybody has their shit, you know, even rich people. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I thought that was really beautiful. Yeah, skip Poor Things, watch One Day.
That's a recommendation. I don't know. Any other thoughts before we, wrap up this episode?
I did actually want to look up really quick because I was thinking about, like we said, like movies should have like usually have a message and a meaning and, you know, Poor Things, whatever. But I'm like, what does the book say? Like, what is the book's purpose? Like, and now, also, I do want to mention that I read a lot of smut. Okay, people, a lot of smut. So I'm not against
sex. She's not a prude, okay?
Yes.
We like a well-written sex scene, okay? We like a romance.
Yes.
I just want it to be between two consenting adults. That's what's sexy to me, okay?
It looks like, however, its Victorian narrative takes in Gray's previous concerns with social inequalities, relationships, memory, and identity. And I did think, like, she told me a couple things. Like, there's a scene where Emma Stone, like, flips out because she sees poor people. And she's like, why the fuck are there poor people? Like, that, like, if we, like, go, like, they were so close, I feel like. Okay. Right. Plot. Let me just look up the plot really quick.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like the whole purpose of these narratives, these, like, fish out of water, like, kind of like, again, like child brain but adult body stories, is there's usually like a good, like, it's supposed to be like a good coming of age, but you can do it again in this world because there's sci-fi involved, you can do it faster, right? Because it's not mm-hmm. really interesting to watch a baby discover things, but to have a voice to it, like, again, can you imagine if a baby could talk, right? Like, again, the whole movie was made about that, look who's talking. Like, discovering the world for the first time and the wonders of it, but also the horrors of it, is a fascinating concept for a story, right? But it's not exciting if it's a baby and the baby can't talk. So what do? We put a baby brain in an adult person's body, and then that makes an interesting story. But it's like, but you have to remember, you are still talking about someone who has the brain of a child. So, like, your automatic response is to sexualize them. Like, this could have been such an interesting story. It's kind of like a little bit like what Pixar's Soul is, a little bit. Kind of about like how life is messy but beautiful, and what it is to be human. Like, that's what the story they were trying to tell, but I just feel like it turned into like, we're gonna have all these men sexualize this woman, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Okay, so here's the book. The main body of the work centers on Bella Baxter, a woman whose early life and identity are the subject of some ambiguity. That ambiguity is complicated by her husband, Archibald McCandless's autobiography, Episodes from the Early Life of a Scottish Public Health Officer, which distorts the truth about his life with Bella. He claims that she was a corpse resurrect. So in the book, it's not, this story might not even be, yeah, it says this ripping. Narrative is followed by Bella's refutation of its facts, suggesting that her poor fool of a husband has concocted a life for her from the prevailing gothic and romantic motifs of the period. Yes. Of course. He, like, pretends that this is, like, a real... He, like, has, like, an introduction where he's like, I've discovered these texts. Which, obviously, is not true, but... I mean, that's a little bit more interesting if we're looking at it from, like, her abusive husband's point of view, and he's, like, warping her story to make him look better. That's actually kind of interesting, but that's not what we got, so.
Yeah. Thanks, that was my last thought.
That's been Michael and Madonna rabbit hole today, and y'all got chaos on a Tuesday.
Yep.
That's what happened. Yep. The Oscars were on. Baby, we had thoughts.
And my frigging opener tag was about this chapter, and then...
Should we go back and re-record the opening? I don't know.
No, we'll just keep it and be like,
we're winging it. We're keeping it. That's what y'all are getting. Just remember how good of a tag it was, though, for when we meet back up on Thursday to discuss chapter 10, everyone.
Also, fantasy suites are on tonight. Bachelor playoffs, woo-hoo! Baby.
Woo-hoo-hoo. See, she likes a good sexy time. She likes
a fantasy suite. This is what I mean. Sex can propel a story, but it can also stunt it. But it
can also just, well said. That sums up, I think, our thoughts on today. Yes. Everyone take care of yourselves. Go buy bracelets. Look at bracelets. Give someone a bracelet. We love you all. And, Hollywood. To give us some good stories. Dolly Ho.